Chris Welder.
But yeah, I think Mookie, within a month, Mookie and Ruzny Castillo will both be starting, and they're going to have to trade Victorino, or he's just going to have to sit on the bench and stew in his own poo.
Your host, Ben Korn.
I would stew in my own poo for a couple $1 million.
And now, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Byron Buxton.
Nick
Buxton. Booby Baby Bubble Bumpers.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, episode number 6. Thank you so much for joining us as per usual. This is probably the most exciting episode that we've done yet. Today is the beginning of Major League Baseball. Tonight it's the St. Louis Cardinals and Chicago Cubs. I wish we could talk about that game and what happened in that game, but it just hasn't happened yet, Chris, so I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter. I'm amped. Yeah. Excited.
So if you're looking to find out that information, this is not the place to be.
Nope.
But if you are looking to find out about fantasy baseball and do it on a weekly podcast, that is us. You heard Chris Welter. I am Ben Korn. We've got a lot to talk about in this episode. Number one, we got to talk about fantasy draft that me and Mr. Welter did.
Yes!
And some of our counterparts have been giving Chris some shit about some of his drafts, some of his players that he drafted, because they don't think that they're the same players that
about
he recommended.
My pick. So you want to get right into this right now?
No, I don't want to get into it right now. Right. I'm trying to tell people it's coming up later.
All right, all right.
So we're going to get into that, and I'm really excited about
Sounds
that.
Sounds good.
We're also going to get into streaming pitchers, why it's important, who you should stream, all of that jazz, and I think we're going to bring up some players. I think we're going to talk about Josh Hamilton and what's going on with him. Archie Bradley, a lot of excitement on the Diamondbacks organization. Anthony Rendon, is he ever going to play for the Nationals? I don't think so. Ruzny Castillo, I drafted him. It's an issue. Irvin Santana, I didn't draft him, but it's an issue. And Aaron Hill, he's having a lot of issues. So we've got an exciting episode of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Hang out with us. First, let's get to the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
Josh Hamilton received no suspension time through an arbiter after confessing to falling off the wagon directly onto a white pony. That's booze and cocaine, folks. Top 20 starting pitcher prospect Archie Bradley has secured a rotation spot for the Arizona Diamondbacks. After a third opinion on his sprained ACL, it is confirmed that Anthony Rendon will miss the first 3 weeks of the season. A crowded outfield for the Red Sox has started to take shape as Ruzny Castillo was sent down to the minors. Irvin Santana receives an 80-game suspension for testing positive for steroids. $12 million on the bench? That's how the Diamondbacks will begin this season as they bench Aaron Hill in favor of rookies Chris Owings and Nick Ahmed.
Very interesting stuff there, Chris. I mean, I am really excited about that that last news story. I think it's funny that you're talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks so much in the news because they are horrendous.
Yeah, they are pretty terrible. And maybe that's why they want to bench Aaron Hill. I don't know.
Yeah, they're like, well, he's getting kind of old. Let's work towards our youth. Which, you know, we do this podcast in Massachusetts. Nick Ahmed, I got a boy who was Nick Ahmed's coach, and he says, Nick Ahmed, good dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, Shout out to my boy Chad.
Well, that's cool. If you want to draft the all-good dude team and finish in eighth place, go for it.
Yeah, I might just do that. I actually just picked him up off the waivers. Nick Ahmed, crazy fact, from East Longmeadow, Massachusetts, out near Springfield. Actually, that's a little baseball facility out there that I'm familiar with.
That's great. If you want to draft the all East Longmeadow team and finish in last place, go for
it. Well, the problem with that is that there's no other East Longmeadow players, I don't think, in the league.
It's a short list.
It's a short list. I mean, I think there's actually two or three of them. But congratulations to Nick Ahmed for batting eighth right in front of the pitcher.
Right, at least for the first week of the season, yeah. No, the Diamondbacks are pulling a lot of weird moves here because you'd think they want to trade Aaron Hill, which means they would have to play him. And it's tough because, frankly, none of these guys that we're saying, Aaron Hill, Chris Owings, or Nick Ahmed, are really fantasy relevant. Maybe Chris Owings in a deep league, but that's about it. But then at the same time, they say they're going to give Archie Bradley the rotation spot. With all this talk of Chris Bryant going down, Archie Bradley is the exact same scenario. Why are you going to waste a year of arbitration. Like, just send him down for the minors for 12 days and bring him back up. In a pitcher, you don't he wouldn't even need to pitch.
Yeah, I mean, especially that last fact you're talking about where it's like they'll miss one, maybe two starts.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Think about the Diamondbacks, and you're like, you're not a very good team. At least, like, the Cubs are maybe relevant when Chris Bryant comes up. If Archie Bradley's up,
oh yeah,
unless every single one of their players just goes off, they're going to sit at the bottom of a not even that good of a division.
Yeah, they're going to be really bad this year. And we'll get into it a little bit later with the player profile on Archie Bradley. But he was pretty bad last year. So it really looks like he just had a hot 2 weeks, and the Diamondbacks are jumping all over it.
They're like, we finally figured it out!
Even in fantasy, we know not to jump too deep into a couple hot weeks.
I don't, but luckily we got Chris Welter here. I did want to also take a moment and say, pour a little wine on the ground for Aaron Hill.
Yeah, he might be done.
Might be done, and to be honest with you, Aaron Hill was my boy 3 years ago when I won the title. You know, Aaron Hill was a big part of that. So thank you, Aaron.
He gave me everything. His skills have eroded as fast as yours, I guess. Boom, throwing punches today, Ben.
Jesus. This is dangerous here on the Fantasy Baseball Week.
What else is interesting? Just one note. Archie Bradley's fantasy relevant. Just keep an eye on him. Don't pick him up yet.
So I shouldn't have picked him up right now?
I mean, you can, but he could struggle mightily, but if he has like a good two or three starts in a row, then he could catch fire because he's a high end prospect.
Rusny Castillo has been sent to AAA.
Yeah, it gives finally a little bit of clarity in the Red Sox outfield. That means Shane Victorino is going to start in right field. Mookie Betts will be in center, and Hanley will be in left.
Now, I'm thinking from different research that I've done throughout this week that we might be seeing Shane Victorino in right field for a while. I mean, you think about he handles Fenway Park really well. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of offense on this team. They need some defense out there, and Shane Victorino is the guy that can bring that to him. So do you think that he might be there for a while, and those people, Ben Korn, that picked up Rusny Castillo might be screwed?
Yeah, we can break down your wild draft picks later. You're going to at least be waiting around for a month or two. You know, I do still think they want to trade Victorino. But again, they need solid production for at least a month before they trade him. So we'll see how it goes.
Let's talk about that cocaine, Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, he's another one. I am so perplexed by the MLB and their rules and regulations and like how this guy can admit to doing cocaine and then get no suspension.
Yeah, like, since you admitted
it's
fine.
So weird. It's so weird.
I mean, on a fantasy relevant, I know in our league, he's open to be drafted or picked up off free agency. I'd say, you know, he'll be back mid-May. He might be worth throwing on your DL.
Right, that's a good note. He does have a shoulder injury that he's working through right now. But, yeah, as a guy sitting on your bench, I mean, he has top 50 upside in him, so it's worth checking out. I don't believe it will happen, but it's worth if you want to take a flyer on him.
And the guy you should be dropping immediately is Ervin Santana. I guess they knew ahead of time. Like, there's been rumors about Ervin Santana doing steroids or something like that. I read some articles. So if you picked up Ervin Santana, sorry.
Sorry, Killer B. Taking a shot.
You messed up, bro. And I guess that's pretty much all the news. The big thing I want to talk about in the news, my boy Mikey Trout in the Anaheim Angels.
Oh, yeah? What's he
up to? Had my other boy Rob Gronkowski throwing out the first pitch this week.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Son. Yeah, I guess the sports drink that they're affiliated with, Body Armor.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, they recently became the sports drink of choice for the Anaheim Angels. So I guess they had Rob Gronkowski throw out the first pitch. But I'll tell you what, Rob Gronkowski threw a wicked first pitch.
Oh, yeah?
It was a strike. They thought that Rob was just going to spike the baseball instead of actually throwing it. So Mike Trout wasn't even paying attention. Mike Trout almost let the ball hit him in the face. It almost ended Mike Trout's career.
Wait, was Mike Trout batting?
No, Mike Trout was just catching as like a catcher.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, because Mike Trout's like the Anaheim Angels.
Now, did we have a gun on the speed for Gronkowski? I feel like he can probably get to the 90s,
right? I think he went into like the 60s or 70s. It wasn't.
Oh, that's pretty slow, yeah.
But, you know, shout out to Rob, man, throwing a wicked strike.
Is there a video? Is there a video online of that somewhere?
Yeah, definitely just type in Rob Gronkowski, wicked strike.
Oh, okay.
Good. You'll find it.
Got that Boston twang to it.
Yeah, that's what's kind of cool about being a New England Patriots wide receiver tight end. So, that's the news.
The player profile on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Number 16 overall prospect by MLB.com, Archie Bradley has been a highly touted prospect for many years. He peaked at number 9 overall last season, but has fallen after struggling mightily in 2014. Dave Duncan, Arizona's pitching consultant, had some harsh words for Bradley at the end of 2014. He stated, he still has a lot of work to do to be a major leaguer, that his fastball was inconsistent, and that his changeup was virtually unusable. Bradley must have had a great offseason as he now has won a spot in the starting rotation. There is nothing more volatile than a rookie starting pitcher. Add that to the bandbox of Arizona, and Archie Bradley could have a rough road ahead of him, but is worth keeping an eye on.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, I am Ben Korn. Joined me now is Chris Welter. We recently finished our draft, which we've been preparing for with the first five episodes of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. And I think it's time to congratulate Chris on what an amazing team you had. I think that you picked the best players that you possibly could and really just killed it. I just want to say it right now, really good. Really good draft.
Well, this is awkward. I did not expect to start the segment with bragging about myself, but I like my team, but we don't need to get into it too much. There's a lot of things to talk about from the draft.
Yeah?
Yeah, you made some wild picks too.
Hey, you know, I mean, I was hoping you'd be like, no, I don't have the best team. You actually have the best team, but I guess we see where your head's at.
Not going to say that. I think I always have the best team, but I'm not inclined to talk about it too much. Let's put it that way.
A lot of wild cardness happening where you're able to get quite the player at pick number three.
Yeah, I guess let's get right into sort of analyzing some of these picks. I was very excited to get Andrew McCutchen at number three. Because obviously Mike Trout went first, and then somebody took Giancarlo Stanton second. I can't blame them there. You know, Giancarlo could hit the most home runs in the majors, but in that spot, I just like getting McCutchen. He's a little more solid, a little more safe, and he just gives you a little of everything. Where Giancarlo is a little bit injury concern, and he really just does the home runs. You know, that's about it, home runs and RBIs, so... I'll take the safe play with McCutchen there at number three.
Yeah, I mean, Giancarlo, a lot of people are talking about he's going to be the MVP for the National League.
He might. He very well might. But.
And so that's why he was able to go second and McCutchen third. I was pretty excited about my Clayton Kershaw at number seven.
Right, you made probably the wildest first pick in that first round of picking Clayton Kershaw.
Well, you know, I just want to throw this out there. You know, all the big guns had gone. Yeah, there's six big guns, I think. You know, the first six picks should definitely be Trout, Stanton, McCutchen, Cabrera, Abreu, Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm.
If those six guys don't go top six, there's issues.
Yeah, I agree. And I was shocked Paul Goldschmidt slid from number three to number six.
Yeah.
I would have taken him at number three. I unfortunately, I have him in many other leagues, and I kind of wanted to diversify a little bit. But then he slid. Jose Abreu went above Goldschmidt. To me, Goldschmidt's the number three player.
But again, talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks, are just not any team that anybody wants to watch, so that makes it difficult to have Goldschmidt on your team.
Right. He at least has Trumbo backing him up this year, but yeah, not a great lineup around him.
But look at number seven, then you got guys like Carlos Gomez.
I actually wanted to ask you, so how did you like that? How do you think your team came out? Since you took Clayton Kershaw first, that's a bold move. That changes your strategy for the rest of the draft, really.
Yeah, and we had talked about this where, you know, it's all about the, you know, hitters. You know, I planned on going hitting first and foremost, maybe getting into pitching around, you know, five, six, somewhere around that.
So this was kind of a split decision you made.
Yeah, all of a sudden, when I got seven, I started looking at who I'd have to be picking up. I was like, I don't really want Carlos Gomez that much. I don't want Adam Jones. You know how I feel about Adam Jones.
Right.
Good player, but he's not my guy. I guess I could have Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like Encarnacion. He was good for me last year, but I just felt like I don't want to drop down to a number 12 guy at the number 7 position.
Yeah. No, I hear you. The guys you listen there, Adam Jones, they don't have a chance to be the top five fantasy players, but Kershaw really probably will be a top five fantasy player, so I get it.
So that changed my game a little bit, and then I didn't feel good about round two or three. I mean, yes, I got Adrian Beltre. He's the best third baseman in my book, but you know, he's getting on a little bit on the older side, and I base my teams around youth more than age. So having Beltre threw me off a little bit, and then I went into round three, and then I didn't know who to pick, really, so I went with some Rockies, and things just went crazy.
Dick.
I felt like if Mike from Denver is going to tell me to pick up the big dick, I'm going to pick up the big dick.
Mike from Denver doesn't mess around. I trust that guy.
So it was a weird beginning to the draft for me. So I don't feel like, I mean, I look at your team and you seem like you were right on point. You knew exactly where you wanted to draft. I was kind of I was doing some late research, just trying to figure out, you know, what do I want. But it really goes back to the overall, when you're drafting, and I don't know if we talked a lot about this during the pre-draft specials, but you got to have like an idea of what you want your team to be.
Sure. You can't just pick the best guy in the round, or you got to think 3-4 rounds ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have an idea of, you know, do I want to begin with pitching? Do I want to, you know, go with the age and the guys that have proven themselves, or do I want to go youth and hope for, you know, the Mike Trout to kind of show up all of a sudden? You know, when it comes to pitching, do I want to go with, you know, hold guys that might turn into save guys? Do I want to go with the big name save guys and have to pick them up way too early? So, you know, in my mind, it was get my hitting, let me get some home runs, and then go from there. What happened was all of a sudden I'm drafting Clayton Kershaw. That's out the window.
That changes everything, yeah.
So once I got Clayton Kershaw, then I said, okay, let's see what I can do to get, you know, middle of the road home runs, middle of the road average at the same time. So then my mindset turned into, okay, let me get Adrian Beltre, 300 average, 25 home runs.
Right. I mean, was your thought process sort of once you have Clayton Kershaw take some safe batters? Because you went a little bit old guys. You went Adrian Beltre, Albert Pujols, who are just steady, consistent. There's not a lot of upside, but you know what you're going to get there. So.
Yeah, and that's where I just wanted to have those consistent guys, and I looked at the average, I think, more than the potential. You know, where it's like Pujols is going to give you 280 to 320. Beltre is going to give you 280 to 320. They'll probably give you 20 to 25. I worry that this is the year where the wheels fall off and it's the end of the line.
See, I like Pujols this year. I think he's going to be fine.
But I've never had Pujols on a team, and I'll take it. I'll let him be on my team.
No, I like what you did. Then you mixed it up with some very high upside guys like AJ Pollock, Charlie Blackmon, Jed Jerko. So you sort of have some risk and then some safety in there. So I like what you did there.
Thanks, bud.
Some other picks that were that I just thought had great value to them. Johnny Cueto ended up going at number 43. And that was probably the 11th or 12th starting pitcher off the board. And I've said this over and over. He was the second best starting pitcher last season. And he's been doing it for years. So I don't know why people discount him so much. But he really should be drafted as a top five starting pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the craziness happening in Cincinnati. Do you really feel like you can trust the Reds? I think you can trust Cueto.
Right.
Can you trust the Reds? That would be when I was looking at him and trying to decide, okay, I've got Kershaw. Who's going to be my number two guy? I don't think I had the chance to get Cueto, but that's what kind of kept me from...
That's an interesting point because you look in the same spot. You have David Price. Detroit Tigers are always good. You have Corey Kluber. The Indians are a sleeper World Series pick for everybody. And then Zach Greinke's on the Dodgers. So you're right. There is some win potential.
Right, and I guess you could look at it like Cueto can't seem to get a deal signed with the Reds. So
he's going to free agency.
Yeah, like, well, he might end up being traded mid-season.
Oh, that's true.
And then it could have got more interesting. Yeah. But, you know, then there's just too many unknowns, I think, for people, and that's why he fell a little bit.
No, that does make sense. Some other interesting picks here. I really like Prince Fielder at number 62.
See, I think this is where you and I disagree.
So what do you dislike about him? And I mean, he has top 10 player upside. He's literally been drafted as a top 10 player until he got injured.
Yeah.
So at number 62, I feel like you're guaranteed to get that 62 value back, and you could get much, much more.
I look at Prince, and, you know, when he was with Cabrera for Detroit, you know, it was like a 1-2 punch. They could play off of one another. I look at it like you and I when we're throwing the bowling balls, okay?
Okay. You know I love me some bowling ball references.
You're a good bowler. You throw strikes. When you throw a strike, I end up throwing a strike as well. It's kind of a playing off each other type thing. Right now, Prince Fielder, I'm hoping that, you know, he'll have that same mindset with you know, with my boy that I drafted, but I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if him and Adrian Beltre are going to have that same 1-2 punch, and we didn't see it last year. I'm just worried that to pick somebody 63, you're hoping that he gets back to where he, you know, where he was, but he leaves, you know, a bad taste in my mouth, and we haven't seen him prove it with the Rangers. The Rangers aren't going to be a good team. Detroit was a good team when Prince was there. It's going to be interesting. And to go, you know, 63 is a good value based on your mind. 63, possibly 70 is kind of where I was looking at picking up Prince.
I get what you're saying about the lineup around Prince Fielder. But my concern is just the players that went right around Prince Fielder. Not to bash you, but you picked, you could have had Prince Fielder.
Yeah.
And he got taken one spot ahead of you, and you took Charlie Blackmon. I'd have way rather have Prince Fielder than Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah, Charlie Blackmon gives me the steals.
Okay, so you were more drafting
at that point. At that point, I wasn't really looking for what Prince was bringing to the table to begin with. I may have picked him if Prince Fielder was still on the board at that point. I think there was a 20% of my brain was like, go Fielder right here, and then he got drafted right before.
Right.
But Charlie Blackmon, I don't like the name.
Oh, here we go with this crap again.
And I say that not that I don't like his name.
Give people the numbers. We want numbers, man. We don't want epiphanies you have about people's facial expressions.
15 to 20 bombs.
We'll see. He did it last year.
And 285 on the average.
I wasn't a fan of that pick of yours. Probably the steal of the draft to me was Chris Davis at number 80.
I wanted him as well. I didn't know how early I could
I
get
really
him.
Wanted him as well. I would have taken him two spots later at 82, and I missed out. Yeah, I mean, he just has all the bounce back potential in the world. He's another guy like Prince Fielder that could get into the top 10 of overall fantasy players this year. I think we talked about it on the show earlier, but, you know, 2 years ago, he was on Adderall and he had that MVP season. And then last year, he was not on Adderall. That's why he ended up getting suspended at the end of the season for taking it. But this year he's back on the Adderall, and I just, that has to be a huge notch above on your focus level. So, and Chris Davis still had the power last year. He just didn't have quite the average,
yep.
Which in my mind, and this is totally making it up, don't get me wrong, but in my mind, the average side of it was down because he just wasn't trying on every pitch. He wasn't focusing on every pitch to sort of hit it the other way, to hit it in the gap. But then when he connected for a home run, it still went. He hit something like 25 home runs.
I mean, not quite the, you know, 40 to 50. But.
Right. But so the power is still there. You just need the average to come back a little bit. And I think there's all the upside in the world with Chris Davis.
Yeah, I think he was projected ADP in the late 90s, maybe early 100s.
Yeah, 100. So he went at 100.
Yeah, a little bit early in our league. And I was contemplating taking him in the late 80s, something like that. I think you were kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And he ended up going at 80. So I think a lot of us were kind of on the Chris Davis bandwagon. And, you know, now that we don't have him on our team, I hope that we're wrong. I think your best pick was Yasmani Grandal.
I've gotten him in so many leagues. It's blowing my mind. Look, and it's not just me. The Dodgers basically traded Matt Kemp for Yasmani Grandal. So
there's got to be something to that.
I'll trust their GM. I'll trust their executives. And yeah, at pick number 305, basically my last round or close to my last round, sure, I'll take a guy with 20 home run upside at catcher position.
You know, I think Yasmani Grandal was the first player I referenced on Fantasy Baseball Weekly. So
was he really?
Yeah. So that.
Are you trying to blame me of stealing your picks?
I'm just saying that. There's two people at these microphones, and I picked Yasmani Grandal, but you're the one with him on your team.
Look, don't get me started on that. You were stealing all of my picks, Ben Korn. All of my picks.
Like minds think alike?
No, like minds steal my picks. Then you are the like mind. You stole my AJ Pollock. You know what? I don't want to get going on a rant here.
Okay.
But just let the world know that you stole my picks. Particularly, yeah, AJ Pollock. Let's see here. Michael Cuttier. I raved about him last week.
You still don't even know his name. It's Michael Cuttier.
It's, well, when he's on my team, it's Cuttier. And he should be on my team, but you stole him. TJ House. I raved about him last week.
I'll give you TJ House. You enlightened me with him.
Adam Ottavino.
There's no way you ever referenced Adam Ottavino in this room.
Well, then maybe I said it in private in my secret messages, but Adam Ottavino's been my boy. Devin Travis. Anyway, like I said, I'm not trying to
check
rant
the
about
tapes.
This.
I was the one that brought Devin Travis to the table last episode.
Well, I don't have a tape player, so I'm not sure how to handle that.
Thank you for acknowledging that my team is amazing.
That's not what I said. I just liked your strategy. It was an interesting strategy you took there. But let's take it down a notch here, Ben Korn.
I mean, we're running on time here. This draft's going long.
We do have stuff to get to. I really liked Wade Miley in the last round. Oswaldo Arcia at number pick 182. He's got 25-30 home run potential, so that was solid. Let's get to the bad picks, because that's always a fun topic.
And luckily, looks like Charlie Blackman didn't make this list.
Well, I referenced it earlier. Let's see. Oh, so the first and most wild pick of the draft was Mookie Betts at number 35.
He could do that. I didn't pick him at 35, but I could see him holding 35 value.
See, that's my problem. That's the best he can do, though, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he sneaks into the late 20s as the fantasy baseball rankings, but...
Leadoff hitter for the Red Sox. You're buying up a lot of runs.
And you could have picked him 3 runs later. Nobody's taking him.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that you could have grabbed him. Even if you're, 30 picks away, you probably could have gotten him around 70.
Similar style was Chris Bryant going to number 66.
He could be a top 5 player.
He can't be a top 5 player. He can be a top 20 at the most. But again, you could have drafted him 2 rounds later. You just jumped the gun there.
I think both those players are tough because if you really want him, you got to get him. Like Chris Bryant, who knows? He could have gotten a top 5 pick in the draft. Like somebody could have thought, man, I'm gonna grab Chris Bryant with my number 5 pick. Like that wouldn't surprise me just with how much buzz is going on with Chris Bryant right now. So to see what happened, him going 66, like that's better than number 5.
If you want him, go get him. I can't blame you there.
But at the end of the day, is he 66 value? Is the chances of him having 66 value? Probably not there.
Yeah. One starting pitching pick that I thought was a little bit early was Andrew Cashner at number 93. I do like Cashner, but he's barely even finished one full regular season. And going right after Cashner was Gio Gonzalez, Hisashi Iwakuma. These guys have been studs in the past. And DeGrom, who looks like a stud. All three of those I would have rather had than Andrew Cashner.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Cashner, hopefully James Shields will help him kind of become that
little
pitcher
tutelage
that he
could
be.
There. Could a little tutelage.
Yeah. I mean, I got myself into a situation with my Rodon.
Right, let's talk about that.
And my Rusney Castillo. I mean, this was a tough decision for me because I wanted to lock these guys up. I made a mistake in that I thought that we had a spot that I could just stash them, similar to a DL, where I could just pick them up, stash them on the DL for, a month or two, and then grab some streaming pitchers.
Right, but these guys aren't on the DL. They're in the minors, so there's no slot to put them. So, yeah, you are now stuck with Rusney Castillo and Carlos Rodon. Do you see yourself dropping one or both of them, or are you going to try and wait it out?
I feel like Rodon will be in the majors in 2 weeks, so I'm going to stick him out. Rusney, I'm worried that Shane Victorino is going to hang around longer than I expected, but I think you have to analyze these things and say it's all about the playoffs. It's not about what happens today.
That's true, yeah.
And I think that my team is strong enough without Rusney that as long as I don't get too many injuries, I can probably still do what I want to do, streaming pitchers. I usually only hold one or two batters that don't play every day.
Mm-hmm.
So to have him as a third guy on my bench, I'm not too worried about. So I think I'm gonna let it ride.
I can't blame you there. You should reassess in 2 weeks, and if you've lost both weeks badly, then you gotta change it
then
up.
Then I'm like, okay, Rusney's not gonna be able to hang out.
You can probably ride it out to the playoffs.
It's the fantasy game of the week.
This week, it's opening day for the Boston Red Sox against the Philadelphia Phillies in Philadelphia. Clay Buchholz versus Cole Hamels. Hamels is the man every Boston fan wanted in a Boston Red Sox uniform for opening day, and yet they will see him in the opposite dugout. Expect a big season from Hamels. He may account for half of the Phillies' wins this year. Clay Buchholz starts for the Red Sox. This will be a defining moment for Clay on whether he has anything in the tank this year. Throw in whether or not Shane Victorino can keep his starting spot over Rusny Castillo, and you have quite the intrigue. It's the Red Sox versus Phillies on a Monday afternoon in Philly. It's this week's Fantasy Game of the Week.
Hey, it's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pitchers, hit us up on Twitter at FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
I am excited for baseball. It starts tonight! Sorry, I just got a little bit crazy there. I apologize, Chris. Chris Welter, Ben Korn, Fantasy Baseball Weekly. This is pretty close to our final segment, but wanted to get into streaming pitchers. We, from episode one, talked about how important it is to stream pitchers and to have good pitchers and to really understand the matchups that each pitcher has going against other pitchers and going against other teams and what they're batting. What's your thought process, or what is your 1 to 2 second recommendation in terms of how do you pick a good starting or a streaming pitcher?
Wow, 1 to 2 seconds. Let me. Do you want to start a timer?
Not seconds, sentences. Okay. I don't speak sentences, properly.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, basically the theory...
2 seconds, it's over. Sorry, bro!
If you're losing in counting stats, streaming pitchers is a very easy way to catch up in those. So, for instance, let's say it's a Thursday, and again, this is for weekly leagues with daily moves, so it's a head-to-head format. So if you're losing and it's a Thursday, you're losing in wins, you're losing in quality starts, you're losing in Ks, it's a good strategy to just pick up pitchers that are going to get you those stats. So, and we'll get deeper into sort of how to actually analyze what pitchers to pick up. We'll get into that in future weeks. But just as a broad overview, you want to pick up these pitchers to catch up stats quickly. And usually you're kind of giving up on ERA and WHIP, you know, because when you're playing this, you're playing with fire. You're going to have a guy blow up on you. But if you get three guys and they combine for 15 Ks, that might get you the win in that stat.
Well, that was longer than 1 or 2 seconds or 1 or 2 sentences.
I used a lot of commas in those sentences.
But I felt like you did a very nice job. And what we won't, you know, in terms of what we'll bring to you today, it won't give you, all right, here's the guy that you want to pick up for strikeouts. Here's the guy you want to pick up for a win. For today, I think you should just pick one guy that you like.
Right. Well,
starting next week, maybe we'll go into more detail of here's your strikeout guy, here's your ERA guy.
It's very tricky to pick a streaming pitcher right now because most teams aren't going to use their fifth pitcher in the rotation. So, and that's generally where the streamer is going to come from. So, yeah, this is a light week on streaming, but we just want to get you sort of ready for how we're going to approach streaming for the rest of the season.
So I'll begin. The guy that I'm spotlighting is Dan Heron, Miami Marlins. April 10th is when he's going to take the mound, and he's playing the Tampa Bay Rays. I think this is just a great opportunity for a win. Dan Heron's had a nice spring, which is unusual for Dan Heron, so I think you might see that continue into opening day or the first time that he pitches.
Right, and he's playing a terrible lineup, so that's where you're coming from with the approach of, oh, looking for a win for a quality start because he's against the Rays. They have a terrible lineup. I went a little different approach. I have a rookie as my streaming pitcher of the week. Anthony DeSclafani of the Cincinnati Reds on April 10th will take on, actually be at the Cardinals. Now, this is not a play really for a win because he's against the Cardinals. There's a good chance he could get hit around. But he has been striking out a batter per inning throughout his career. And also this spring, he's been striking out a batter per inning. So I really think he's a good play for Ks as a streamer this week.
I like it. So that gives you, you know, somewhat of a mixed bag of a win guy or a strikeout guy. Now, the question, I guess, Chris, is this guy, Anthony DeSclafani, are you going to actually play him in your league? Because I hear that you don't tend to do in your leagues what you say on this podcast. That's just rumors that I hear. I don't know.
Okay, well, I've been hearing that too.
Substantiated or not.
Things got pretty aggressive at our draft because, hey, I'm very happy that most of our managers in our league are listening to our podcast. Love it. Thank you. But I just want to stress, I'm not an expert here. Don't take every player I recommend as the future Mike Trout, all right? I'm just spitting out numbers, man. I just love looking at numbers, and I'm going to throw them back at you, and you can do what you want with them. But yeah, there was a lot of backlash at me at the draft, man. What was that all about?
I might have been involved. I don't know.
You probably led the charge.
I just, you know, I think it's important that, you know, when you give us recommendations, because we're weighing on every word that comes out of your mouth, I think you should back them up by drafting those guys.
Right. I can't pick every guy I recommend.
I mean, I think you should. I mean, I know that we, you know, say 100 people per episode, but still draft 100 people, will you?
Well, I just want to say, don't get too fired up if I don't pick up the guy. I'm here to help everybody, and I'm trying to recommend more people than I can pick up. And again, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
This is the most important thing we can do for our listeners. We are tracking Chris.
Chris is currently doing the podcast. After that, Chris will be hanging out with Jamie. Then, it's time for sleep.
You just tracked Chris. Now you know what he's up to.
So I think that's, you know, probably a good segment so people, you know, at draft and people in the league can know what you're up to and know that you're actually doing what you say you're doing. You know, hanging out with Jamie, taking a, you know, nap or going to sleep. You know, I think those are important things.
No. We don't need to. The world doesn't need to know that stuff. We're tracking my fantasy baseball picks. Don't be tracking my personal life. That's creepy.
No. I guess that I thought that was more the vibe that we were giving off during the draft, is that we enjoyed your picks and now we want to know more about Chris.
No, this is not a reality TV show.
Okay.
But I do have a baller lifestyle, but that's going to be a secret.
I mean, based on what we just heard there, I mean, take a nap, hang out with girlfriend.
Exactly.
Sounds pretty good, dude. Sounds pretty good. All right, so then we'll change it up, and we'll pick two people this week that we're tracking. Who would be your two guys that we should kind of keep on our radar that we can track you and say next week you failed or you did well?
This is the most important thing we can do for our listeners. We are tracking Chris Walter's fantasy baseball picks, not his sleeping habits.
So I'll go with my streaming pitcher pick, Anthony DeScalfani of the Cincinnati Reds. And I want to throw a hitter in there. And I'm going to go with Michael Taylor of the Washington Nationals. He's a rookie. He's going to play sort of his first full season. But he only has playing time this month because Denard Span and Jason Worth are injured. So he might not be a good long-term pick for your fantasy league. But if you need a guy, if you need a fill-in for this week or this month, Michael Taylor's your boy.
Put a sock in it!
There is only a small number of people that can do what I do.
That's Peter Burton as Ryan Braun. Now, come on. Come on, Ryan Braun. You're only one of a small number of people that can do what you do. Yeah, of course, you're part of Major League Baseball. You made it that far, bud. But you know what? Once you got to Major League Baseball, then you decided to do steroids and then claim that you didn't do steroids, but then you actually did do steroids. So I'm not really 100% sure that you are a small number of people that can do what you do. I don't care that Chris Welter decided to draft you in his draft. I don't have faith in you, Ryan Braun, and I think there's a large number of people that can do what you do.
There is nothing to hang my head about. I did well. I think I handled myself well. I couldn't be prouder of myself. There are a number of positives.
Now, Chris Bryant, I love the fact that you handled yourself well and you couldn't be prouder of yourself. Nobody is discounting the fact that you had a great spring training. Let's keep in mind that it is just spring training. And there was a lot of positives with you hitting 9 home runs. You led the league in home runs during spring training. But you are part of Major League Baseball now, Chris Bryant. And because you're part of Major League Baseball, that means you need to follow the rules. And the Chicago Cubs are not just going to pay you a ton of money and kill themselves out of a whole year of that little bit of money they have to pay you just because you hit 9 home runs in one spring training. So, Chris Bryant, thank you for having your first press conference, but no thank you, keep it to yourself. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Hey guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
All right, there it is. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Chris Welter, any last thoughts to put a wrapper on this nice piece of candy?
You're fired up as hell.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta get fired up, man.
I can't blame you, though. The season's about to begin. This is the best week of the year, right?
Cincinnati Reds fan. I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan.
Hey, I backed you. I picked Anthony DeSclafani.
Yeah, and I didn't even pick Johnny Cueto. I don't even think I got a single Reds player on my team.
That's okay. Your hair's still red, so you're the biggest fan ever.
Yeah, thank you, bud. All right. I think that feels good. You feel good? Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about the opening week of baseball. There's nothing else to talk about at this point.
I want to get deeper into streaming pitchers next week.
Yeah, I mean, just nothing else really to talk about except for just opening week of baseball.
I've got some good picks for next week as
well. Yeah, I mean, just the opening week of baseball feels pretty good.
All right, well, you're the host.
All right. Thank you so much for sweeping up the Boston!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's losing it.